بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Today we read concerning the beliefs regarding Qiyamah and the major and minor signs of Qiyamah. Belief number one, the various events which Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of that will occur before the advent of Qiyamah will definitely take place. The signs of Qiyamah are of two types. The first one is minor signs. By minor signs is meant those signs which began from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birth up to the appearance of Hazrat Mahdi radiyallahu anhu. The first sign is the honorable birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others are the conquest of Al-Baytul Muqaddas. Ignorance of deen will increase greatly and the knowledge of deen will rapidly decrease. So all these which were going to be mentioned here, up to 20, are all the minor signs which will occur before Qiyamah will take place. Number 3, consumption of intoxicants will become common. Number 4, fornication and adultery will become rampant. Shame and modesty will be eliminated. Number 5, speaking lies will become common. Number 6, the female population will increase. Number 7, dancing, singing and musical instruments will become rampant. Number 8, speaking lies will be regarded as a profession. Number 9, people will be disobedient to their mothers and subservient to their wives. Number 10, people will regard their fathers as strangers and regard their friends to be their close associates. Number 11, the immoral, evil and worst in character will assume the reins of power in government. Number 12, public funds will be regarded as private property. Number 13, oppression will become the order of the day. Number 14, people will desire death due to the evil and false practices that will become rampant. Number 15, Zakat will be regarded as a fine or a penalty. People will find it difficult to pay Zakat. Number 16, the latter people of the Ummah will speak ill of the previous people. Number 17, people will extend their businesses to such an extent that they will bring their women folk into the business to assist them. Number 18, Salam will only be made with those who one knows. Number 19, control of the disbelievers will be established all over. And number 20, there will be an increase in natural disasters such as earthquakes, hurricanes, etc. So these are all the minor signs of Qiyamah which have already commenced from the time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And as we heard now, many of these, we see them openly in front of our eyes today. And all these are the minor signs of Qiyamah. Then the next type of signs are the major signs. Those signs which will commence with the coming of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu and will end with the blowing of the sur, which is the trumpet. So those signs which will occur after Hazrat Mahdi will appear until the actual commencement of Qiyamah, all those signs are regarded to be the major signs. 10 signs have been mentioned here. We will do the first one today, the advent of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Mahdi in Arabic means rightly guided. Many such Mahdis, in other words, rightly guided people, have come and will continue to come. But the Mahdi who is mentioned in the Ahadith will make his appearance very close to Qiyamah, as foretold by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu anha, through her son, Hassan radiallahu anhu. His name will be Muhammad and his father's name will be Abdullah. He will resemble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in character. He will be tall and he will have a bright and broad forehead and he will have a long, high, bridged nose. He will be born in Medina and reside therein. He will emerge at the age of 40 in Makkah. A group of awliya who are called the Abdal, will recognize him while he is making tawaf and they will pledge allegiance to him. A number of battles will be fought with the disbelievers under his rulership. He will eventually be victorious. During his reign, Islam will flourish. He will remove the treasures buried under the Kaaba and distribute them amongst the Muslims. He will first rule over the Arabs and then the entire world will be under his rule. He will restore peace and justice to the entire world. All his actions will be in accordance to the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his lifetime, Dajjal will also appear and Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens and perform his first salat behind Hazrat Mahdi radiyallahu anhu. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 14th Farah was recited, which is made up of two surahs, Suratul Hijr and Suratul Nahl. Both these surahs are Makki surahs, and as mentioned over and over again, the main subject matter of all the Makki surahs are the fundamentals of deen, that is Tawheed, Risalat, and the Aqeedah of the year after. However, that doesn't mean that the fundamental issues of deen are mentioned in all these surahs, therefore there is only repetition in the same way. No, the style and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions each point in each of these surahs is different from the next, with the result that the reader, he is captivated, and who studies the Qur'an al-Majeed, the message and the finer points which are mentioned here, all are different in the different surahs. The first surah is Suratul Hijr, which is Makki surah. Allah Ta'ala begins with Huruf Muqatta'at, Alif Lam Ra. As mentioned previously, these words are such that the meaning of it is known only to Allah Ta'ala. And throughout the Quran Majeed, wherever any surah begins with Huruf Muqatta'at, Allah Ta'ala then mentions the greatness and the truthfulness of the Quran Majeed. Here also Allah Ta'ala says that these are the verses of the Kitab and of the clear Qur'an-i-Majeed. Qur'an-i-Majeed is clear when it comes to the fundamentals of deen. Also, when it comes to the injunctions of deen, the Qur'an-i-Majeed has explicitly and clearly defined everything in such a way where it is easy to understand. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala, the first verse of the 14th para, Allah Ta'ala says, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. That on the day of Qiyamah, when the kuffar will see the severity and the frightening scenes of Qiyamah and the punishments which lay in store for them, and on the other hand, the success and the bliss of the mu'mineen when they will see, Allah Ta'ala says, many a time on that day, the kuffar will wish that if only they were Muslims, if only they had accepted Islam. But this wish of theirs will be to no avail, because the time of accepting of Islam had passed long ago in the dunya already. In the dunya, at that time, they used to reject the message of Haqq, and they used to mock at and make fun at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and refused to accept the message of Haqq, and went to the extent of calling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many names, and they even called him Majnoon, that na'udhu billah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Majnoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dharhum ya'kulu wa yatamatta'u. Leave them, don't bother with them, let them continue eating and enjoying themselves, and let their high hopes put them into negligence. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Very shortly and very soon, they will come to know the error of their ways and the consequences of their actions. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these people, the mushrikeen of Makkah, the people of Makkah, they make such absurd and audacious demands from you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that if you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are truthful in your claim to be a Nabi, and what you bring to us is the word of Allah Ta'ala, then why don't you bring to us angels who will testify and verify you being the Nabi of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that, mentions that and warns them that don't make such audacious demands, because مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, that we don't send down the angels but with decisions. the decisions to punish the people. Therefore, don't ask for angels to be sent, because then if they are sent, it will be to your detriment. And وَمَا كَانُوا إِذًا مُنْذَرِينَ. And at that time, they will not be given respite. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that we are the ones who have revealed and sent down this reminder, the Qur'an Majeed, and we are its protectors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of the protection of the Qur'an Majeed. Unlike the previous scriptures, there Allah Ta'ala did not take that responsibility of protecting them. In fact, it was entrusted to the people of those kitabs, the Jews and the Christians. But through the passage of time, they made changes and alterations and distortions to the actual version of those kitabs. But the Qur'an Majeed, since Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility of the protection of the Qur'an Majeed, therefore the Qur'an Majeed, from the time it has been revealed till now and till Qiyamah, it will remain in its pristine purity and perfect state. The protection of the Qur'an Majeed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken the responsibility of, is not only the words of the Qur'an Majeed, but also the meanings of the Qur'an Majeed, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had elaborated to the Ummah. And this explanation of the Qur'an Majeed is what we call the Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the protection of the Qur'an Majeed includes the words also and also the meanings also. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that the way of Allah ta'ala is that anyone who tries to distort any form of the Qur'an Majeed, whether in word or in the accepted meanings, Allah ta'ala has created such people in this ummah who will rectify that distortion and that alteration. And these are in the form of whom we call the Huffaz, those who have memorized the Qur'an Majeed, the Qurra, those who have learned the correct reading of the Qur'an Majeed, and the Ulama-i Haqq, who have learned from the Ahadith the correct meaning of the Qur'an Majeed. It is through them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then preserves the Qur'an Majeed in its pristine purity. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that many anbiya came before you, and all of them were such that they were mocked at. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't feel that you are singled out in this regard. Make sabr in this regard. Allah ta'ala says that if we have to open up a door to the skies for these mushrikeen and these kuffar, and they climb through that door into the skies and witness the scenes of the skies, then too they will say, إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا, that our eyes have been mesmerized and we have been bewitched. Jadu and witchcraft has been done upon us. This is in response to what these people of Makkah had used as a reason not to believe, that we are asking you for specific miracles to be shown, and you are not showing us those miracles. Allah Ta'ala says, any miracle you might show them, and even if we have to open the door into the skies, then too they will not accept, and they will say that no, they have been now bewitched and they have been mesmerized. So there is no benefit in sending to them that the miracles which they are asking to be shown, because they are not going to accept. From the second ruku onwards, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many of His great qudrat, of many of His great creations, in which the existence of, the oneness of, the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made manifest. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the skies, the stars, the earth, the crops which grow on the earth. Allah Ta'ala mentions all this. If man really ponders in all these things, he will realize the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He alone is the creator and only He has to be worshipped. Allah Ta'ala says in between, وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَيْشَ, that we have placed for you, O man, in this earth, the enmities of life. In other words, those things which are needed for your continued survival and your sustained existence on this earth. We have placed all those resources for you on the earth. And Allah Ta'ala says that those وَمَنْ لَسْتُمْ لَهُ بِرَازِقِينَ, and we have created also in this earth all those creations of ours which you are not responsible for their sustenance, you don't provide for them. We have made them for you, but you don't sustain them. All the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the animals in the jungle, and all other creations have been made for man. But man is not responsible or is not in charge of seeing to their sustenance. Allah alone sees to their sustenance. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that by us are all the treasures. Whether material or spiritual treasures are all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says that we send them down in specific measure so that according to the needs of men, so that when the need arises, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly provides from His treasures, so that the worth and the value of each thing remains recognized and appreciated. If a bounty is to be found too much in abundance, many a time we lose the value and appreciation of that ni'mat. Allah ta'ala then mentions the unique system of the rains and also the storage of water. How Allah Ta'ala had made the system is really unique. If a person really ponders into that, really he will see the great kudrat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says we send the winds that fill the clouds with water, and we send down from the skies rain with which we give you to drink. And Allah Ta'ala says you are not in a position to store that water. The system of the rains which Allah Ta'ala sends through the process of evaporation, condensation, and then desalinization, where the salt content is taken out and it is turned into sweet water. And then millions of liters and tons of water are carried by those clouds with the winds to far places inland, so that man can be given water through rainfall. Then Allah Ta'ala says that to store that water is also, we have taken that responsibility. You are not in that position. If man had to store water according to his needs, he will be unable to do so. And so Allah Ta'ala made the arrangements that through the dams, through the rivers, through the lakes, and through underground reservoirs in the form of springs and wells, etc., Allah Ta'ala, and also on the mountain tops in the form of frozen and ice and snow, and that which melts slowly and takes the form of rivers and streams which flow far distant places. All this is a means through which Allah Ta'ala stores that water in its fresh form for us. Really, this is the unique spectacle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which we can see the great kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the greatest manifestation of the Qudrat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala created insan, created man. The whole incident mentioned many times in the Quran and Majeed, how to demonstrate his great status, Allah Ta'ala instructed the angels to make sajda, and Iblis, who was not actually an angel, he was from the jinn but used to live amongst the angels, that he refused to make sajda because of his pride and arrogance, through which he was accursed and rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked respite till the day of resurrection. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, we give you respite, but to a specific time, and that is till the time of the sounding of the trumpet for Qiyamah. And then Shaitan takes a vow that he will definitely mislead man and beautify for him all the evils, so that he may be deviated and caused to lose, and so that he may be misled. Allah Ta'ala says that in ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, that on my special servants you will have no power whatsoever. They will be in my security, and you will not be able to mislead them. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some incidents of the nations of the past, the angels who came in the form of humans as guests by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They give him the glad tidings that a son will be born to you. He is astonished. His age was about 120 years, well past the age of bearing children. Even his wife was gone quite very old already. But yet they are given the glad tidings that a son will be born to you. And then those angels say that we are being sent to the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam to destroy them. And the whole incident is mentioned here, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. A terrible scream came from the skies at the time of sunrise, and their hearts were pierced, and they all died. And their towns was lifted to the heavens and turned upside down and flung to the ground, and rains of stone stones were rained upon them. This is how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. The next incident is of the nation of Thamud, whose Nabi was Salih alayhi salatu was salam. They are called Ashabul Hijr. And for that reason, the surah has also been called the Suratul Hijr. Hijr is actually a name of a valley in which this nation resided, which occurs between Madinatul Munawwara and Sham. On that road, they resided. Allah Ta'ala speaks concerning them, how Allah Ta'ala gave them great power and strength. They used to carve out their houses from the mountains, and they were living in complete peace and security and tranquility. But they refused to accept the message of Haqq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came on them, and they were also destroyed. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had given you the great bounty of the Qur'an Majeed. We have given you those seven often repeated verses referring to the Surah Fatiha, which is actually a condensed form of the entire subject matter of the Qur'an Majeed. And Allah Ta'ala says, we give you that, and we gave you Qur'an Azeem, referring to the same Surah Fatiha or the rest of the Qur'an Majeed. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we have given you such a great bounty, لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم. The address is to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the message is to all of us, that don't stretch your eyes to those things of the dunya which we had given to the different groups of the people of the dunya. Don't stretch your eyes to that. Those are material and bounties which are to come to an end. They will not last forever. Don't stretch your eyes to that. A great lesson when Allah Ta'ala has given us the great bounty of the Qur'an Majeed, particularly those who have been blessed with the knowledge of the Qur'an Majeed, they should now value it, and there can be no greater bounty than that, and never look at all the other material things which other people have been blessed with. Further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told that وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ, that don't grieve over these people who reject your message of Haqq, and وَقْفِذْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and lower your wings for the mu'mineen. Rather, focus your attention on those who have brought iman, and give them the guidelines and teachings through which they can be successful mu'mineen. Towards the end of the surah, again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being consoled, that Allah Ta'ala says, we know the distress and the difficult constraint which you find in your heart because of what these people say. They refuse to accept your message of Haqq. But O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you continue with the praises and of Allah Ta'ala and glorifying Allah Ta'ala. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, and be amongst those who prostrate. Occupy yourself in salat. In other words, busy yourself in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala and with salat. Previously, in the previous surah, in the previous para, another verse had been mentioned, Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub, that for the tranquility of the heart and peace of the heart, engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, Wa'abud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, and worship your Rabb till yaqeen comes to you. And yaqeen means death, which means that till death, continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this we understand that no matter how high level of spirituality a person can reach, but never will he be ever absolved from the fundamental worship, obligatory worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person can say that, no, I am on that very high level of spirituality, and for me now, I don't have to perform salat, as some ignorant people today claim that it is alright for them. Now the way, the laws of Sharia have been waived from them. Who can be greater than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been instructed that till death continue worshipping Allah Ta'ala. The next surah is Surah An-Nahl. Nahl means bee. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this, of the creation of the bee, that seemingly insignificant, but how great intelligence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given it, and how much of administrative and management skills Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the bee. Really, it is mind-boggling how If we study the bee and the beehive and the entire ways of the bees, how they manage their beehives, just like the system of government and politics of humans, on that basis, really a person understands the great kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, mainly the great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been expounded. It is for this reason that another name for the surah is Surah Ni'am, the surah concerning the great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala commences the surah in a very stern way. Allah ta'ala says, Ata amrullah, fala tasta'jilu. The kuffar of Makkah, the people of Makkah who rejected the message of truth, when they were warned that if you don't accept, then you are inviting the wrath and punishment of Allah Ta'ala to come on you. They used to make a joke out of it. They used to make a mockery out of it. And they used to say that where is that punishment? Why is it not coming? You want to see it. Allah Ta'ala says, Ata amrullah. The command of Allah has come. In other words, it is so likely that it will come now, as it has already come. فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا. So don't seek it to become in a hasty form. Don't be in a hurry to seek it. Because when it comes, then it will completely destroy you. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of His bounties so many, particularly concerning livestock and animals. Allah Ta'ala says that in these animals there is warmth for you. Warmth because their hides are used as clothing also. And many other benefits. You use these animals for transport, for labor. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And from amongst them, some of them you eat also. So all these are the great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says for you, there is a source of beauty in these animals also. When these animals are brought back to their enclosures in the evening, and when they are taken out from their enclosures in the morning to go out and graze, what a great beautiful sight it is, particularly for the owners of those animals. And then Allah ta'ala says that many other bounties are then mentioned here. In between, Allah ta'ala reminds insan that don't forget your humble beginnings. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. You were created from a drop of fluid, and suddenly فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. You become an open adversary and open contestant, and you want to reject the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you remember that what were your beginnings? Think of that, and then you won't come into this condition of pride and arrogance. The great bounties of Allah ta'ala are mentioned. And in between, after that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you try and enumerate and count the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, you will never be able to count them. Even if a person forget the external bounties, just his own body, if he has to look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each limb and organ, how they are functioning, just a small malfunction, then a person becomes sick and it causes great problems to his health. Really, if we have to just think of those things, we will realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with bounties at every given moment and second. And we have to be grateful for all of this. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions again all the bounties of Allah ta'ala in the form of the creations which we see around us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you are greatly anxious for the hidayat of all the people, then remember that Allah ta'ala does not guide those whom He has put into deviation, and for them there are no helpers. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to His wisdom and knowledge, which we are not aware of, Allah ta'ala has already decreed who will get hidayat and who will be deprived of hidayat. Those who make hijrat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala mentions that for such people, لَنُبَوِّ أَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. We will settle them in the dunya in a good way. They persevered, and to make hijrat, to leave your homeland and to leave everything behind, is not an easy thing. But for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, those who do that, Allah Ta'ala will see to it that they settle very nicely wherever they make hijrat. Further on, one of the objections that why are you a human being just like us? O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you claim to be a Nabi, then you should have been an angel. Allah ta'ala says that all the people, all the Anbiya which came before you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were all men like you, whom we had blessed with revelation. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Therefore ask the people of knowledge. In other words, ask the people of the people of the previous nations, that their Anbiya alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, were they not human beings? They were also human beings. This ayat in a general form also indicates to the great principle of taqleed, that if you don't know, then ask those who know. And here Ahlul Dhikr has been mentioned, that the true Ahlul Ilm, the true people of knowledge, are those who have, who are Ahlul Dhikr also, as mentioned so many times by our Hazrat Damat Barakatuh, that here Ahlul Dhikr has been mentioned. So the importance and necessity of taqleed is also mentioned here. A person is not able to practice on deen in its entirety without taqleed. Taqleed, which means to follow somebody whom you have trust in, if you yourself do not know. Even those who deny the very basis of taqleed, they cannot deny and reject the taqleed in its general form. They also realize that there are limitations to that. That you have, till how far are you going to carry on without asking if you don't know. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in a verse, a very important verse, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, verse number 44, and a very similar verse, again in verse number 64. أَنزَلْنَا وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that we have revealed to you the reminder, the Qur'an Majeed, so that you explain to the people, you expound to the people what had been, what has been revealed to them. In other words, you explain the Qur'an Majeed also. So not only is the responsibility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to propagate the words of the Qur'an Majeed, but also the message of the Qur'an Majeed, which in essence is the hadith. Those people who regard only the Qur'an Majeed to be the binding authority in Shariat and not the hadith, they should reflect in this ayah that they are actually now denying the message contained in this ayat, that the hadith together with the Qur'an Majeed is also a binding authority in Shariat, and a person will not be able to practice on deen in its entirety without the Qur'an Majeed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, towards the last quarter, Allah Ta'ala mentions an ayat which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned. It is the most comprehensive ayat in the Qur'an Majeed. This ayat we hear in every khutbah towards the end. And this has been the practice from the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, that this ayat is recited in the second khutbah to indicate the comprehensiveness of this ayat, that Allah Ta'ala orders justice and Allah Ta'ala orders ihsan, that things must be done according to the way Shariat has shown us. And with this in mind, that Allah Ta'ala is now watchful over whatever we do, and to give to the relatives, everyone to give who are in need, there is great virtue, but relatives to maintain family ties, there is much more reward. And Allah Ta'ala prevents and prohibits from shamelessness and evil and oppression. All the teachings and injunctions of Shariat are condensed in these few words. Further on towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Ibrahim alayhi salam kana ummah. He was a nation, he was a community by himself. All the good qualities which are to be found in different people is actually Ibrahim alayhi salam. One man had all those qualities. He was qanit, he was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was hanif, he was only inclined to the haqq without being in the least bit inclined to any other way. Allah ta'ala orders Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, the millat and deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And the surah then concludes again with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being consoled, that make sabr, and your sabr is only with Allah. Only with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala will you able to make sabr. Don't grieve over these people who reject your message, and don't be in any type of constraint when it comes to all these evils which they are plotting, because Allah Ta'ala's assistance is always with those, alladhina taqaw, those who adopt taqwa, and those who do good, and those who do the actions of piety.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن معاوية رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج على حلقة من أصحابه فقال ما أجلسكم؟ قالوا جلسنا نذكر الله ونحمده على ما هدانا للإسلام ومن به علينا. قال الله ما أجلسكم إلا ذلك. قالوا الله ما أجلسنا إلا ذلك. قال أما إني لم أستحلفكم تهمة لكم، ولكن أتاني جبرائيل فأخبرني أن الله تعالى يباهي بكم الملائكة. رواه مسلم. حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایک مرتبہ صحابہ کی ایک جماعت کے پاس تشریف لے گئے اور دریافت فرمایا کہ کس بات نے تم لوگوں کو یہاں بٹھایا ہے؟ عرض کیا کہ اللہ جل جلالہ کا ذکر کر رہے ہیں اور اس بات پر اس کے حمد و ثنا کر رہے ہیں کہ اس نے ہم لوگوں کو اسلام کی دولت سے نوازا، یہ اللہ کا بڑا ہی احسان ہم پر ہے۔ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہو؟ صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم نے عرض کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہیں۔ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ کسی بدگمانی کی وجہ سے میں نے تم لوگوں کو قسم نہیں دی، بلکہ جبرائیل علیہ السلام میرے پاس ابھی آئے تھے اور یہ خبر سنا گئے کہ اللہ جل جلالہ تم لوگوں کی وجہ سے ملائکہ پر فخر فرما رہے ہیں۔ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the ذکر of Allah جل جلالہ. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, we have set to here to remember Allah and praise him for guiding us to Islam. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah jalla jalaluhu was boasting about you to the angels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah jalla jalaluhu. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, we have set to here to remember Allah and to praise him for guiding us to Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba radiallahu anhum to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah jalla jalaluhu was boasting about you to the angels.